Let's head right out to the McLaren Health Plan phone lines and talk with United States Senator Carl Levin, who, of course, represents Michigan. I don't know how he finds any time to talk to the media, but he found 10 minutes to spend with us. Senator, thanks so much.
Hey, good being with you, Tony.
Well, people are very nervous about the price of gas, especially here in the state of Michigan. What's the latest news, and what can you do to help us out and perhaps lower the price of a gallon of gas?
Yeah. Understandably nervous and understandably angry. And one of the things that the president did yesterday was do something which a number of us have been pressing for, which is to go after speculation in the commodities market. We've had hearings in my permanent subcommittee on investigations which showed that perhaps 25% or 30% of the price of a barrel of oil is due to speculation. Now, but that means that it's not supply and demand, which we're talking about here. This is not an issue where market forces are working relative to how much is available and how much demand is there for what's available. The supply of gas and oil is up. The demand for gas and oil is down. And yet we see this big price spike. Why? And one of the reasons, which is clearly there, and the president went after big time yesterday, was the amount of speculation in the commodities market. And that means that people who don't want the delivery of a product are nonetheless buying contracts for the delivery of a product, buying and selling those contracts. And that has had a upward pressure on the commodities market, and then therefore it gets translated into the price of gasoline itself.
Senator, it seems like whenever this issue comes up, a big spike in the price of gas, whoever the president is tries to get involved, but nothing ever seems to work. That market seems to operate at in its own time and pace.
Well, this will be the first time if we can get the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, which is the regulator that is now given the responsibility of controlling speculation, that we have a regulator that for the first time has that responsibility under the law that we passed called the Dodd-Frank Act. And if they can act, if they have enough personnel to act, but at the moment, if the court, which is now where a lawsuit has been filed by the speculators to stop the regulator from acting, if that court will give a green light to go ahead, as we hope it will, then we're going to, for the first time, have a regulator that is mandated by law to go after excessive speculation.
Let's talk a little bit about the Buffett rule. That didn't fare very well in a vote. There are a lot of folks who said that won't really help us that much. What's your take on that?
Well, the facts are that the only folks who have done well in recent decades are upper-income folks. And Buffett, who's a billionaire, says that it's not right that he pays a lower tax than his lower tax rate than his staff people pay. And so he has proposed that for income over $1 million that there be a higher tax, which is pretty fair. I think most people in the country would say that that's true. We need the revenue. It's not going to solve the problem, but no one thing is going to solve our deficit problem. And income inequality is much greater in our country than it's been since before the Great Depression. We have the wealthiest 1% of America takes home almost a quarter of our total income, and that's up from 10% of total income just in the last few decades. So we've got to change this for the sake of revenue, for the sake of fairness, in order to avoid massive cuts in programs which are otherwise on the way, including education, including health care for kids, and a whole bunch of other important programs.
Senator, a lot of us are concerned about the base closings here in the state. I'm from the Mount Clemens area where Selfridge is, but here in Lansing there are many facilities within an hour or two drive. A lot of folks are concerned about that. Where do we stand? You're going to try and keep some of these open.
Well, what happened is the Air Force, when it came to making their share of cuts, disproportionately hit the Air Guard. The Air National Guard took a much, much, much bigger hit proportionally than did the Guard in the Army or in the Navy. Reserve forces took a fairer cut in the Navy and the Army, and this was not the case with the Air Force. And so we're going to try to reverse that. And that disproportionate cut in the Air National Guard has had an effect on bases around the world. All the governors signed a letter very strongly objecting to it. They didn't object to the other cuts by the other services, but they did object to the Air National Guard cuts, and rightly so. And we're going to hopefully, we've brought this up with the Air Force, both publicly and privately, and if they don't change it, then we're going to try to change it during the budget process.
When do you think you'll know more about that and perhaps have a final decision?
By the end of the budget process and the appropriations process, it would probably be a matter, I'm guessing here, of 6 months or so before we'll really know whether these cuts are going to stick or not.
The pipeline from Canada through the United States, why don't we get that thing built?
Well, because there's an environmental issue which take another year to resolve. And we want, obviously, to bring in gas and oil. We ought to use less of it. We ought to be much more environmentally cautious because of the impact of fossil fuel. But nonetheless, we're going to be using fossil fuel for some time. But we also want to do it in a way which makes environmental sense. And the president hasn't killed the pipeline. What he said is there's been inadequate a environmental assessment on the location of this pipeline. So that's something which we do with all the locations of pipelines. I would think if you're going to have a pipeline, which we need, that you want to make sure that it's not doing damage in terms of its location. That would be true with the pipeline going through Michigan, and it's true with the pipeline going anywhere.
There are those who say that the president's dragging his feet on this because people who support him don't want the pipeline, when in reality they do have an alternative course where to put this, and it could create thousands of jobs.
Yeah, well, that's true with any advance, that you have to always weigh the advantages, the economic advantages, with disadvantages. People who attack the president on this issue, I think, are some of the same folks, not all, but some of the same folks that attack him on every issue. I mean, there's some people that just simply don't like the president, and anything he does, there's going to be an automatic attack. Obviously, that's not the case with everybody who disagrees with him all the time, but it's too often that there's just an automatic attack on people because of their political persuasion instead of sticking to the merits.
Former Congressman Pete Hoekstra is running for Debbie Stabenow's seat. He hopes to oppose her in an election. And one of the points he hammers her on is the fact that the United States Senate hasn't proposed a budget in more than 3 years. Is that accurate?
No, we have a budget, actually. It's called the Budget Control Act, and it controls spending this year. I think Hoekstra voted for it.
Is that a actual budget that was designed, put together, and submitted by the United States Senate?
No, it's an actual budget that's in law, however. It got there in an unusual way, but it's the legal budget of the United States, and it affects all of us. And unless we adopt an alternative, which I hope we will, which needs to, by the way, include revenues, because there's no way of doing significant deficit reduction without revenues, you're going to see some massive cuts. But it is the legal budget of the United States, and hopefully will force us to do something a lot more sensible than what it will provide for. It's kind of an action-forcing mechanism, and I would hope that the Congress will adopt a fair budget, not the one that was adopted by the Republican House of Representatives, by the way, which has massive cuts in education and a whole lot of other things, but a budget which contains both some spending cuts but also some revenues. The Republican budget in the House, they want to protect the oil industry subsidy and at the same time cut education. And that's a budget that I can't vote for. I'd rather have a much more balanced budget, and that's what we're going to hopefully adopt as the alternative to the budget that is currently in law that is now going to take effect unless we do something better.
Senator,
I got to run along.
Thank you, Senator.
Sure, be well.